It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Can you be sure that we are not just all living in a referee's main character simulation? Are they the main character? Do sports exist just for officials to be like, hey, let's take a look at that goal. Did it count? Let's pull out the iPad, guys. Nobody's doing anything. Give me 30 minutes, rules analyst free. Hey, it's February, and the NHL's announced that February is no challenges month. I'll watch more games. I promise. Oh, it's week 17 in the NFL. You know what that means? Gene Steratore's off today. Thank you. Please go away. We're just trying to watch sports.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
One unassailable truth. The return of football means the return of complaining about football.
All right, go ahead.
That's everybody. Football's back, baby. Yeah. And what is it? A nonstop roast of, look at this ridiculous sport.
It's kind of like the return of summer, right? Like, the weather was terrible all spring. It's like, man, I can't wait for summer. And summer shows up like, too hot.
Yeah, that's right.
Too hot.
What would we do if we didn't complain? And last night, Chargers and Lions, the Hall of Fame game. Hopefully you watched it. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you watched something else.
I got to it 3 minutes late. There was a review on the first play.
I did not see that either.
I was busy.
I was out with Joe Marino and Patrick Moran for Patrick's Talking Buffalo podcast. So I missed the challenge on the review on the opening kickoff.
There was a fumble on the kickoff.
Great.
And they had to review it.
Great. Yeah. I'll have to go back.
I mean, they need pre.
It's preseason for everybody.
Got it.
I beat you to it.
Preseason for everybody.
I'll have to go back and watch because, of course, the most important thing is that they got it right, and it'll help me sleep tonight if I see that they got that call right. Yeah, I missed it. There was a fumble.
There was a fumble, I guess, on the opening kickoff, and then I don't know how long the review was. Like I said, I got to it a little bit after that.
I watched the second half. I am one of the seven people.
Yikes.
I'm one of the seven people in America that stayed up and watched the entire second half, but I have a specific reason why I did that. Because I was also, and we'll see how smart this is by the time we get to like 10 a.m. and noon. I stayed up till about midnight watching that game and also assembling a small table and chairs for kids.
Oh, okay.
So
it was background, kind of.
Yeah, it was. I've got a reason to stay up. If I put this together now, I can keep an eye on this, and I can get five or six things to complain about tomorrow. That's pretty much what I thought.
Okay.
And I did get that. Although I'm trying to
remember. Really?
From
the second half?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've got...
Was Trey Lance still in the game at that point? Because I did not watch the second half.
No. Kyle Allen was in when I was watching.
He was in the first half, too.
Kamani Vidal was great.
My part of the parlay, you know, that was a hit yesterday.
Congratulations.
Vidal.
Yeah. So I missed the opening, but I saw the second half.
Did you see the Hawkeye technology to measure first downs?
Oh, it's on the list of things to complain about.
All right, we'll have to get to that.
The biggest problem I have right now is last night as I was building this table, I had just a small little table and chairs like for an arts and crafts corner for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And whenever we get stuff like that, I'm one of these people that I like to put that stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little tedious. It took a while, but I still enjoy that. It's easy. It's fun. Take it all out.
Yeah.
You know, lay out the parts, numbered, lettered. Here's the little pouch that's got the wooden dowels in it and the pouch that's got this. So I was in my element. Like, oh, yeah, I'll do this in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And watching that last night, I was thinking, oh, perfect. I'm just going to get more material for tomorrow. And I had three things to complain about that were not a rules analyst.
Okay.
And I can only remember two of them. I should have written it down. The third thing is, I can't remember what I'm complaining about anymore. But it was football.
It was football. You know, I just appreciated for what it was and that there were a couple of guys that like, oh, that guy, he's playing tonight. I mean, that was Trey Lance, but we already knew that.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked pretty good.
Your guy, Trey Lance?
My guy, Trey Lance.
Trey Lance truther routine is about to get kicked up a notch.
Thought he looked polished, you know, playing like the sixth football game of his life. Someone finally gave him a shot to throw the ball around.
Do you think the Bills gave the Lions a call last night?
The Chargers.
They previously did try to get Trey Lance once.
They did. They called the Niners about him when the Cowboys got him for like a fourth or something, which would make sense. They didn't want to go that high. So Lance was interesting last night. I'm watching and go like, oh, Nyheim Hines. There he is. Nyheim Miller Hines, I believe, actually, now, though. He's got a hyphenated name. Jarrett Patterson former UB running back, was out there last night.
Saw that.
Saw Kyle Allen. It's really just an exercise of, oh, that guy. He's playing for the – he's on the Chargers depth chart. That's basically what last night was for me. And it was football.
It was football. Collinsworth –
just not taking it too – trying not to take things that aren't supposed to be serious too seriously. Right.
Collinsworth did say in the game, in the second half, and I quote, I mean, this game is meaningless.
Good for him.
He said it. And Tirico had a good line. What? We've made it this far, and you're telling me it doesn't mean anything? And he, you know,
so his 20th Hall of Fame game?
Yeah. He wanted to talk about how, you know, the guys in the game, it's meaningful, but the Lions didn't play any of their starters. Because you could tell Collinsworth in that moment was trying to reassure, I don't know, people that live in Detroit, you don't have to call your sports station and say, oh my goodness, we got walked by the Chargers in a preseason game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, relax, everybody. But it was preseason. It was the Chargers. It was Harbaugh firing up Trey Lance, who went 13 of 20 for 120 and two touchdowns.
Yep. Only took one sack on the night, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't scrambling all the time. He was trying to throw the ball, and he had some pretty passes, I think. He always had arm talent. Like, he had the big arm. It was really inconsistent. But it's too late for him, right? No matter what. It's too late for him.
Lance?
Yeah. And what's funny about it's too late for him is you've never seen a pick that high ever get this little of a chance. He was the third overall pick. Do you know how many games he ended up starting?
Is it like five?
Five.
Okay.
He ended up starting five games. So if someone did, like, say, oh, try that out for a spin, you'd be giving a third overall pick that's only played five games a shot, but I don't think he's ever getting a shot.
It just feels like
it's been too long. The timeline's been too long.
And it's also, you know, who owned the car before you? You know, who had Lance on their team before you?
Right.
If you are, well, you know, he was drafted by Matt Eberflus, you might think,
sure,
there's something in there.
You know who gets second chances all the time? Jets quarterbacks.
Yes, I was just going to say Adam
Jets
Gase.
Quarterbacks.
You know, if he had been with Adam Gase, maybe there's something in there. Instead, it's Kyle Shanahan. And I'm not saying it has never happened, but I think that the NFL at large, the coaches, oh, Shanahan didn't like that? Okay, it's not going to work for me. Like, Shanahan can shine up any quarterback into something, all the way down to Nick Mullins. And, of course, Garoppolo and Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy.
Yep.
So, Kyle wouldn't start him? Nah, it's over. Sorry. Right. Sorry, kid. You got a chance with the guy that's the quarterback wizard, and he said you can't do it. So, I'm not going to be the one to take a chance. That said, he played pretty well for Harbaugh and Greg Roman last night. And
he did, you know, in a preseason game against backups, but he did.
Right, yeah. That's right. In a preseason game against backups, this is where someone calls and says, guys, EJ Manuel had a really nice game against the Colts. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, he did.
That's where I wonder, like, so he is the third pick by the Niners, who immediately were a contender, right?
Yep.
Like, they had a weird year where they were that low in the standings. Actually,
it's not that weird for them. They do that all the time.
Right. And actually, if I remember right, they weren't that low. They traded up with Miami, didn't they? With, like, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Future first-round picks to move up and get him. He ends up going to a team that's great right away. And he was a developmental type of quarterback. He had hardly played football in his life. Didn't play the whole COVID year because there was no FCS football, whatever. If he goes to the Jets and plays 30 games and doesn't look good, is he more likely to get a chance?
I think he might be.
Because that's what's kind of weird about that.
Because I'll tell
it's
you.
Like, no one got to see him, and that almost makes it harder for a guy like that to get that second opportunity than, well, I guess Zach Wilson was the number two pick. He has not got a second opportunity. Maybe he never will. But Darnold and Geno Smith, like, they eventually got it, and maybe Wilson will before Lance ever would.
Yeah. I was thinking about this with Jets quarterbacks recently because I was comparing Daniel Jones and his stint with the Giants to Geno Smith with the Jets.
Okay.
Because Geno Smith got another chance and is now good.
Yeah.
And
it took him a long time for that second chance.
It did. Yeah. And Daniel Jones is a laughingstock. And if you look at Daniel Jones' first stint with the Giants against Geno Smith, they do not look like, oh, this guy deserves a chance and laughingstock. They look like the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Geno Smith did. He had zero good years with the Jets and somehow, got the right kind of scenario and proved himself. But with the Jets, his seasons went 12 touchdowns, 21 picks, 13 and 13, and then he never really played again for them. It was over.
Right.
2014 with the Jets, 13 touchdowns and 13 picks. A full 8 years later.
Yeah.
30 and 11 with Seattle.
8 years later.
8 years later. That was the Geno Smith arc.
There's one start in there. I'm looking at his career too right now. There's one start in there with the Giants that was very controversial because that was when Ben McAdoo ended Eli's start streak.
That's right.
And Geno was the one that went in for one game. Ben McAdoo might have ended up being onto something, and they never got a look at it.
But Geno's best year with the Jets was 13 and 13 touchdown interception.
Okay.
Daniel Jones was positive on touchdown to interception 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Okay. Throwing how many touchdowns?
24 and 12, 15 and 5, 8-7. 10-7, 11-10. The point is pretty low, but yeah. Oh, sure.
You're right. Yeah.
But I was just thinking about this guy is literally a laughingstock. The Colts bring him in, and it's who would ever want this bum? And yet Geno Smith was much worse.
That's right.
And got an 8-year gap and still found his way.
But he is definitely a rarity.
Yes, I agree.
Geno Smith. Yep. Like, more often, that guy that gets a second chance, Trubisky, this is kind of the case for, right? He ends up getting one in Pittsburgh. Almost always, those guys are not good, like at all. Like Jones right now, and also like there is the starting experience part of this is interesting too, because even like Geno Smith started 30 games right in his Jets career. That's what Pro Football Reference says. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones started 69 football games.
Nice.
He played a lot of football, and that's kind of where the Colts, I guess, they prefer the guy who's experienced. For me, I would look at Daniel Jones and go, I have a lot more evidence that guy is not good at quarterback, and yet he's getting a look as maybe being a starter again, and I got a guy playing last night who's played 5 games that nobody would even think to look at as a starter. And in my opinion, I'm like, I'd rather take the shot at that guy. Give me the shot at the guy who's played 5 games. Maybe Shanahan was wrong. Let me take a bet on that, because that's all I'm going on. With Daniel Jones, I've got 7 seasons worth of tape that tell me he's not good. With Lance, it's just Shanahan mystique
5 games
for him not being good. But yet, who's the guy that's going to get a shot to start? Although, actually, have you read about Colts camp? Colts camp is like it's
Richardson's all of a sudden taking the reins.
But I think that's because Jones looks so bad.
Oh, okay.
The Colts signed him, and like they finally got him to on the practice field, and they're like, oh, this doesn't look very good. So maybe we should try Richardson out again.
Who could have predicted?
Right.
The Hall of Fame game last night, Chargers and Lions. And we talked a lot about the Chargers yesterday. The Lions will be interesting, too. I heard Collinsworth was talking about them saying this year they're going to put Montgomery and Gibbs on the field at the same time. That's a new wrinkle of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think they were on the field for the same snap 11 times. Sorry, that's if I had this.
11 no. snaps?
11 snaps.
That's nothing.
11 snaps. The two of them were together. And the talk out of Detroit is that will be a feature of their offense. So, you know, the fantasy community can do what it will with that. But Montgomery and Gibbs, Sonic and Knuckles, on the field at the same time.
Am I wrong for treating that the same way that when you hear running backs are practicing at receiver? Like, oh, we're gonna move this guy around.
Uh-huh. Like, and you get a wide receiver in the backfield.
Is that a thing teams say they're going to do and then very rarely actually do it?
Good question. Collinsworth was convinced and that it would work well for them.
I mean, they're as good as it gets for that. If anyone was going to do it, those two backs are awesome.
Yeah, maybe what it is that's a scenario where Montgomery's in the backfield and Gibbs is in the backfield too, and Gibbs motions out or goes into because that's a heavy run look.
Right.
Maybe you do that and you get more linebackers on the field and then, you know, try to exploit that matchup with Gibbs. We'll see. The Lions have a big test. They lost both coordinators and are trying to just get back on top of the NFC Mountain. They had tons of injuries last year. If the Bills had a season like the Lions, we would think it was a curse. They had so many injuries on defense, all on one side of the ball. You know, we sit here and talk about how Bills' seasons end because they lose linebackers and A.J. Klein has to go in or Benford goes out. The Lions last year lost the defense. Mm-hmm. Almost every defensive starter missed time for Detroit last season, and a lot of them missed for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah, last year I'm looking at teams that played 22 personnel, which is two running backs on the field at the same time. There were like five teams. There were four teams that did it more than 50 snaps, and that was it. And the only team that really did it regularly was Baltimore. with 133. So that's what, Henry and Justice Hill on the field at the same time. So almost nobody in the league is actually doing that consistently. Like, there's like 8 teams that didn't do it one time. There's like 11 teams that did it once. So if they do it, they'll be one of the few teams that actually tries it.
Now you know football's back. We're talking 22 personnel.
22 personnel. The Bills, by the way, are one of the teams that did not run it. Oh, wait, there they are. 18.
18 snaps
last year. Should they do that? Should they do more of that? Do I need Cook and Ty Johnson, Cook and Ray Davis on the field at the same time?
Yeah, sure, whatever. The Bills are so consistently good that we don't even have to talk about the preseason pledge anymore. We have to do it.
No.
We used to have to do it because, hey, so-and-so is convinced. I think this Jeff Toole, I think EJ is going to have a great. And we'd have to say, you know, good or bad, the preseason pledge doesn't even matter. And they have been so good and so consistent that I feel like it's actually real now. That no one takes it that seriously. If, I'm trying to think of a player here. If TJ Sanders had like 7 sacks in the preseason, we'd say like, oh, that's cool. Uh-huh. How many games are the Bills going to win? I'm still going to win like 14. And if the defense got worked in the preseason, you know, every year, this time of year is me doing trivia asking what happened in last year's preseason, and no one can remember. Although last year, I remember they played the Steelers.
They played the Steelers. You remember the score?
They got beat pretty bad.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they blew them out?
That was the year before.
Oh, okay.
Last
year was the rain game.
Yeah, the final score was 9-3.
9-3. Trubisky picked up a knee injury. They were trying to feed Keon Coleman.
Yep.
Last year's preseason, honestly, was about Joe Andreessen. That was the story.
That's right.
That was all of it for the Bills. 2 years ago might have been when they lost in Pittsburgh and got blown out, and McDermott sounded like it wasn't up to their standard. You know, he was upset, whatever. And how many games they win, like 15 or 13, whatever, like they normally do?
Yeah. Yeah, last year's preseason, I don't – like, in that Steeler game, Cook did play. He had 6 carries in that game. There's a Panther game in there, and then there's also a Chicago game in there. And those were both losses.
The only other preseason game of recent memory I remember is the A.J. McCarron comeback.
And that is not recent.
No,
that is Allen's rookie year.
Yeah.
So that is 7 years ago.
Yeah. McCarron's comeback to beat the Bears on the road and how important it was. And it was kind of cool for him. Like, his comments on it were all about how the guys in here, they don't get to fight for stuff like this, and to lead this team to victory is really special. And then the Bills traded him like a week later.
Yeah, they were down going into the fourth quarter of that football game.
28-7?
27-3.
Okay, 27-3.
They're down 27-3 going into the fourth quarter. They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter and won the football game.
The Bears have been reeling ever since.
Wow.
Yep. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-552-5550 on the game last night. If you saw the return of the blue and red, the Bills are going to be at Highmark tonight for a scrimmage / simulated game situation, sometimes drills. I don't even know if we go so far as to calling it a scrimmage. Because sometimes scrimmages, they'll scrimmage the Bears when they do a joint practice a little bit, right? But it's not even all the way to a scrimmage, even though sometimes we do call it that. It's just a practice in Buffalo. So, you know, you'll see some individual stuff. You'll see some team stuff. Maybe we'll see Josh Allen's cool helmet, whatever he's going to wear for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see who's healthy. Hopefully Cole Bishop is back soon. But it should be nice. And the weather is, borderline fall-like.
Yep.
Slept with the windows open last night.
Nice, me too.
It was elite sleeping weather, which was necessary. So,
yeah. Thinking about this event tonight, I was thinking actually more about next year for this and how many people will experience assuming they have it next year at the new stadium again. I shouldn't assume that.
I don't know.
Because it would be many's first, it would be their first time in the new stadium.
Yep.
And if they do have it and it's, what was it? Was it this year free to the public again? It was free to the public, right? But there was like an unlimited. Their ticket inventory was limited.
Yeah, I think it's only. Is it only lower bowl?
Maybe they. No, I don't know. I've sat in the upper deck for this thing
okay.
a couple years ago. They could sell out the new stadium next year if they want. If they had this event,
yeah, for sure.
If they wanted to, like, they could fill up every seat because it would just be more than just the practice. It would be let me go down to see the new stadium for the first time. If you didn't go to, like, if they have some kickoff event, kickoff concert or whatever before. So I guess I do wonder if they'll have this next year. Maybe they think that's too much to take on for just a practice. Are we really going to have 65,000 people come to this game?
Well, the
come to this practice.
The latest I saw was we haven't talked to Pete Gwilly from camp yet. We hope to next week if we can line things up. Was saying that everything's on track and the stadium's on track to be ready for July, like open for stuff for the Bills in July. It won't be fully complete until into December because there are elements of it that you don't actually need to be complete.
Yep.
I believe that's the story of it. So, yeah, would the blue and red be their soft launch event? Or would a preseason game be that? Or
I mean, I'm feeling like there's going to be like a concert or something before any of that. But maybe the blue and red would be the first Bills event.
Yeah. One thing that snuck by yesterday we did not mention is that the Bills' pursuit of the draft has been pushed a couple years. They were looking for it soon, and they have now targeted another date. And I wonder if that is because someone else got picked, and they know that, or if they decided, you know what, it's a little aggressive for us to try to do this so soon. They're now targeting 2029 or 2030. So the Bills still want to host the draft, but they have pushed their date on that. Initially, it was 2028 or 2029.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, like did the league come in and say, like, actually, we've got somebody for 2028 we've chosen, so let's have you guys submit and push in the future. Who else did I see was trying to get it? Was it Nashville already had it? Was it Baltimore? Did Cleveland have it?
Cleveland, I don't even know if they already had it. Were they talking about it for their new stadium? Maybe.
That's probably right too.
At some point.
But that won't be before they play games there. I mean, games are going to be soon. This time next year, right, are we talking about, hey, tonight's the preseason game against so-and-so, and go sit in your seats, go check it out? It does strike me that it will all come pretty fast because this year will be about commemorating the current stadium and all the memories. Season will end, and we'll say, like, well, next time they play, it's in that place, and that'll be pretty wild. So anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the Battle of the Blue and Red, the scrimmage that's kind of like a, college atmosphere. It's like, hey, come look at, it's like spring practice.
The spring game?
It's the spring game.
It's the spring game.
But it's probably...
But it's not a game.
No, it's not a game. And it's probably a little, I don't say less competitive than the spring game, but like it's not really a game format. So that's
right.
That's a very clear distinction. If you go to this tonight expecting a game, you don't really often get that. You get game scenarios, much like practices.
Yep.
I've got two of my three things to complain about from yesterday.
Okay.
I just got to remember what the third thing was. What bothered me last night?
Was it Collinsworth?
I've got a Collinsworth note. Yep. I've got a Collinsworth note.
I like bonus points for him admitting the game meant nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give him that.
This game is meaningless. Direct quote, Chris Collinsworth. Also saw the part there with Brent Musburger.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that. How'd that go?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They joked about how often he would reference the gambling lines.
Uh-huh.
And
now he's... now it's legal.
Yeah.
Now he's like, now everybody's doing it.
Everybody does it.
It's on the screen.
Yeah. It's on the screen. So anyway, we'll get to plenty here. We'll check in with Sal. We'll check in with... I've got a call out to Paul Hamilton because Devin Levi signed a two-year extension with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been an offer sheet candidate, but signed a two-year deal with the Sabres, so... He's back. We'll talk a timeline there. And, of course, get ready for the blue and red. Injuries for the Bills, some better, some not so much.
Yep.
Just trying to get
Cole Bishop.
Cole Bishop. That's maybe a big one.
And there's a star receiver on the market.
There is a star receiver on the market, Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry.
Yep.
Teams are calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders would be fools to trade him. But, hey, sometimes teams make
sometimes
that foolish.
Teams are fools, yeah.
That's right. Sometimes teams act like the Titans.
Yep. Right.
Let's just tear apart our entire franchise by making a horrendous wide receiver trade.
Right.
Maybe the Commanders do that. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want, 803-0550. Happy Friday. It is beautiful. The weather has kind of broken a bit. Humidity not as high. 55 degrees. Felt like fall last night. Feels like fall this morning. It's wonderful. Temperatures rise a little bit later in the week. In the weekend, we're going to get back in the 80s, 86 most of next week. Pretty consistently hot. Not going to rain for a while either.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. Days of no rain. So really nice stretch of weather here. You can give us a ring. I'm going to think of that third thing to complain about. I got two out of the three. I got to think of the third thing. Because the segment, Joe, was going to be called three things to complain about that aren't the rules official.
Uh-huh.
And I've only got two of them so far. It's like maybe I'll go back and rewatch the game right now during the break.
That seems like a terrible
idea. I'll access my NFL Game Pass and just rewatch the game.
That seems bad.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
That rewatching the Hall of Fame game. Only the true football sickos are
Let me check out the all 22 of this. Let's dig right into it. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Chargers going to go for it on fourth and two. And it's Lance throwing up top, touchdown. Brought in by Will Dissly.
Oh, you know football's almost back when
Will Dissly.
Yes, your fantasy football. You know, maybe Dissly going to give me anything this year? maybe somebody wants Dissly off the going to trade Will Dissly. You know, I was looking up Latavius Murray's career stats. More rushing yards as a Bill. Latavius Murray or Trent Edwards?
Is Trent the one that ran out of bounds on a fourth down? I'll go with...
I think he threw it short.
I'll say Trent. Trent had more.
Murray by 4 yards. Yeah. Mm. Ty Johnson has more than Murray. Latavius Murray played here for 1 year. He did a
How many yards was it?
300 yards rushing.
300 yards rushing.
And, that's Latavius Murray. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday. Cool out there today. Nice and cool. Temperatures expected to stay a little cooler. Humidity not a big issue. 74 degrees today and mostly sunny. It'll be nice out there. They've got High Lie on ESPN, the Ocho right now. So
it's the Ocho day, yeah.
We're off to a great start.
They have, I saw they were... Oh, look, they're promoting this stuff. Tonight at 6, Slippery Stairs, whatever that means. I saw Extreme Archery was going to be on at 8. I don't know what that means, but it's going to be archery, and it's going to be extreme, I guess. High Lie, I'm watching it. I don't know how any of this works. They're wearing hockey helmets.
Yeah. Slippery Stairs, huh?
Is this something I could play anywhere? It kind of looks like racquetball, like
asking if you wanted to get into High Lie, where's the nearest High Lie court?
Oh, that is a wall. I was going to say it's only three walls. There is another wall. It's just glass, I guess, so the fans can see. So it is. It looks like a bigger version of racquetball.
Has anyone in the chat ever played High Lie? There's a question for you.
I bet how many people are in the chat probably right now?
Streaming with us right now, we got a little over 120.
I bet one person's played High Lie.
One person's played High Lie?
Yeah. I bet one person's played High Lie.
You did earlier this week guess that 40% of golfers have a hole-in-one.
40% that are like your handicap or around that territory or better.
Yeah.
It's still not that high. It's probably like 20% or 10%.
803-0550, our phone number. Injuries for the Bills. You know, Cole Bishop, Alec Anderson, we'll see. The big thing, aren't we only worried about the Hairston thing that it becomes this is why he was never right at any point this year? That's what the Bills did with Bishop. And It's not to say it's not a legitimate excuse. You just kind of have to be alert. That it would be unfortunate if it didn't get off the ground. His rookie season is derailed a little bit. I am comforted by, on the Hairston news, first off, that it's not as serious as we thought earlier in the week, but it is probably really good news that if you're paying close attention, maybe you tune us in today or you're on the stream today and it's the first day you've ever heard somebody break down this Bills camp, the silver lining on what happened with Hairston is that the Trey White looks good.
Yep.
Chatter had already been well underway. It's not like this week happens. Oh, I think Trey looks... It was Trey White looks good. And multiple reporters thinking, Hairston's not going to start the year. Trey White looks really sharp out there. Looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Sal, earlier in the week, maybe on Tuesday, maybe Monday, referred to Trey White as the best player on the field. So, that's, to me, a really good sign. It's unfortunate that Hairston's timeline can be thrown off, but... He doesn't have to rush back. And if it's a 3-week injury, which is what Ian Rappaport said, if it's a 5-week injury, he'll be ready by, the start-ish of the season, and they will not feel pressure because they have this gaping hole out there because Tre'Davious White has looked the part. So that's gone a long way to kind of making me feel like, all right, fine, it'll be fine.
Is he not, though, the starter? If he's in there, and I don't see any reason why Tre'Davious White would not be in there right now, is he... not one of like the five starters, if not maybe three, that will be wondering about how good they are like right away. Because for him, I don't know how good that's going to look. Sure, he looks good in training camp, but what am I going to do if I'm the Ravens?
I
had that guy last year. I'm gonna test him. I think away.
If I'm the Ravens, I had him in a different system. I feel like what my expectations of Tre'Davious White might be. He's instead of playing the number one corner where the Bills have a guy over on the second spot, he's now the guy
because
the Bills have Benford. If it's Benford and Tre'Davious White as your 1-2, I almost want to treat that like pretend it's not Tre'Davious White. Pretend it's E.J. Gaines again. Pretend it's, I always go to E.J. Gaines. Pretend it's Levi Wallace again. The guy's not perfect, but he'll definitely.
But all of those guys have been guys that eventually you've been wanting to, to upgrade from.
Which the Bills have wanted to upgrade from. But the results of what the Bills have done with a kind of just a guy as your second corner over
eight years,
they've been consistently excellent with that.
That's right. Like, would you expect him to look better if he plays half the season at least? Would you expect it to look better than Rasul Douglas last year?
Yeah, I would.
With Tre'Davious White,
I would.
See, I don't know why I should expect that.
Because Rasul Douglas last year in a defense that got beat and took the ball away, he got beat and he didn't take the ball away, and that used to be his only thing.
Right.
So Douglas was a guy that was not considered to be super athletic. He was smart, heady, right? And that part of it didn't even really show up. He didn't give you the thing he was supposed to give you. So, yeah, I think better than Trey White. I'm adding in that I'm going to have Cole Bishop instead of DeMar Hamlin. Like, hopefully that works out as well.
That's the one I would be more optimistic about. But and I'm not saying Trey White can't be better than Douglas last year, but I think it's also very reasonable to expect, like, oh, remember what Josh Norman looked like in the Bills system? Yeah, that's what it's going to look like.
Right, which I think is just fine.
Then that was a guy they benched.
I think Josh Norman looked just fine, except for when Tre'Davious White missed the game and Norman had to be the number one receiver and cover A.J. Brown. Like, in that spot, that's not gonna cover it.
But that was a guy they benched, though.
How many games in?
He started, I mean, he only started three games that year, and then it was it. He's on IR to start the year, then he starts three games, then he's inactive a couple, and he comes back, and he's not the starter anymore. So maybe he was injured in the middle there, and then he came back.
It's another example of injured to start the year, and you're injured the whole year.
That's right. But that's an aged corner that was definitely done when he showed up. And I'm just saying that is not out of the realm of possibility for me with Tre'Davious White when he shows up on the field in the games that are meaningful.
It is an interesting question you ask there about you being more optimistic that Bishop will be an upgrade,
yes,
than
White.
You're more confident Bishop will be an upgrade over Hamlin than Tre'Davious White will be over Douglas.
Yes,
and I think that might only come down to one guy's young, and there's ceiling there, is it not? I mean, Bishop.
No, sure, that's right.
Right, I wouldn't dispute that. Like younger players, it's easier to picture a higher ceiling, but is it not also a little bit, I don't know, cliche to just think, oh, we're younger, so we're better?
It's that, but it's also he was drafted in the second round, so there's a talent level there. It's the profile of what Bishop presents being a little bigger and more athletic. And it is also that I'm just skeptical that this is nothing against Tre'Davious White. This would be any person you told me this about. If you've had a torn ACL and a torn Achilles and you are 30 years old playing corner, I'm not going to bet on that guy being an upgrade over a replacement-level corner, which is, to me, what Douglas was last year. He was a replacement-level corner, and that's about what I would expect Trey White's most likely outcome to be this year. And I think there's a chance that it's worse than that. There is bad injuries there for a tough position to maintain. You know, like, you got to – corner maybe more than any position – is the one where you got to have that peak athleticism. Like you better be insanely smart, if not, because.
Which is what Douglas did not have.
That's right. And he didn't have the speed at the end, and that started to show up. But Trey White, to me, is just playing a position where, like, it's tough. You don't know where the guy's running. You're covering the fastest guys in the league, and you don't get to know where they're going before the snap. So, like, why does Hairston get drafted where he does? In part, he's super fast. And you saw it at camp a couple of times where he makes a mistake, but But he's got that recovery speed that I'm not going to expect Trey White to have even a little bit of.
Can I give you something unintentionally hilarious?
Mm-hmm.
So as we're talking about this, like, could Trey White be an upgrade over Rasul Douglas? I think this is a win for me, and I also think it's a win for you.
Okay.
I checked out their PFF grades.
Uh-huh.
Like, what did they grade last year for PFF? Rather than, you know, what are we going to do? Ask a million coaches how good these guys were.
Sure.
Douglas ranked as the 102nd defensive back cornerbacks. He ranked number 102.
Okay.
Out of 116.
Okay.
Trey White was 104.
So, like the same.
Yeah. Same guy. But I think that could be a point in your column. I feel like the point for me is that's Trey White somewhere else.
Mm.
Here, yeah, I think he'll be better. Douglas was 102. If the bet is, will Trey White grade out better than the 102nd best corner in football this year?
But wait, you're assuming that because of the Bills system?
Yes.
Douglas was in the Bills system.
Yes, he was in the Bills system. That's
so
right.
But that's the point I'm making. It's possible in this system to be one of the worst corners in football.
That's right.
Douglas just did it.
Right, I know. And Trey White in this system is going to be better than Douglas. Granted, he might not even have to do it for the whole year. But Trey White graded that in the Rams and the Ravens. And the Ravens play a lot more man coverage than the Bills do, right?
Mm-hmm. They do.
So the Bills likely ask him to do different things. And can his coverage grade be better? It is hilarious that the two of them are just like right next to each other.
Right. And I wonder how that all went down. Like, what, did they sign Trey White because they thought he was better? Did they sign Trey White because Douglas wanted money? Trey White didn't.
They signed Trey White because, well, sure, they wanted a backup that was going to be cheap. And right. I think they. I mean, how different is this than Bosa for Vaughn? It's not that big a difference. It's kind of lateral, and they're thinking younger is a better idea. I mean, Vaughn could have come back.
Vaughn could have come back, instead. But that's the opposite. Vaughn would have been cheaper than Bosa. And again, like, I was Douglas thinking he was going to get like a reasonable contract
he
from
must
somebody
be because he has turned down Miami, who is like pursuing him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Where Trey White signed for almost nothing.
Yeah,
come here.
The biggest difference between White and Douglas, and again, it's just PFF grade. Like, it's Douglas in rush defense.
Which at that point, like, that's
right.
We're far down the list on what's important for corner at least.
Yeah, I might be falling in the trap where. You know, the Bills will be fine. Pretty much anything can happen outside of Josh Allen, and it'll be fine.
That's right, and I do think that. And I do think that the other pieces on defense coming together will, like, Trey White could even be as good as Douglas or even maybe a little bit worse, and you just won't really care because the defense as a whole is going to be performing well, and they'll be insulating him. Because that is the point about, you know, the Josh Normans of the world and E.J. Gaines and Kevin Johnson and all these corners that have played for them, Levi Wallace, and they've gotten away with it because everything around them has been so strong and so buttoned up that's where you're going to get the most out of those guys. And this year, maybe Trey White is still cooked and you won't really care or even notice that much because, the defense is back to being like a top 10 defense in the league. And they're insulating him and they're not exposing him. But that won't mean to me that he is an upgrade over Douglas. It'll just be he's getting a lot more help than Douglas was getting last year.
803-0550, our phone number. If you want to chime in on that, you know, how you're feeling about Trey White, if he is pressed in duty for half a season, and he's probably going to play. And he had been winning the job. Again, another for me, calming effect on the injury to Hairston. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. Happy August 1st.
Wow.
August 1st.
I didn't even realize that.
I woke up thinking last month before my kids start to go to school. Like, yeah. They've been in, you know, daycare schools, but like, you know, school.
Yeah. August means August the start 1st. Of the Premier League.
Yes, it does.
Couple weeks.
I've been reading up on some of the new signings, checking out the new uniforms.
I do like that part of... Because, like, when the Bills make an ad or the Sabres, like, usually I know at least a little bit about the person. I do like the part of being a Liverpool fan where they add, like, some awesome player from Germany that I've never heard of. And, like, ooh, let me see if this guy's good.
Yeah.
That's got to be, like, Bills fans are like that. There's Bills fans like that, right?
Yeah, probably.
They get Joey Bosa. Who's Joey Bosa? Oh, that's the other Bosa. And then they start whereas I already have an opinion of Joey Bosa when he signs. I like not knowing anything about the guy.
Yeah. Arsenal signs a player, and I think, I need to watch a 13-minute video on how this player will fit their system.
Yeah,
like, that's what I want to do.
Right.
I was talking about this last night. It was with Joe Marino and Patrick Moran for Patrick Moran's podcast last night where I was Sunny Reds, and somebody asked me about that. Like, you know, are you ever able to be a fan? And I said, actually, it's one of the reasons I like soccer is because I can be a fan with a terrible take.
Yes.
I could just be wrong.
That too.
And no one yells at me for being wrong.
Right. Right.
And I can just say, like, I don't like that guy.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have to defend it.
Yeah. Oh, there's Darwin Nunez is this player for Liverpool. I have other friends that are Liverpool. Like, he's my Stephon Gilmore.
You just can't stand it.
I will not adhere to him being good.
Yeah. And they're like, well.
You cannot tell me he's good. I don't care what you show me.
His advanced metrics say this. You're like, shut up. I don't care.
I don't care. I watched that player. There is no way he is good at soccer.
All right. When we return, I haven't thought of the third thing, so. Football season means complaining season. I've got two beefs with the NFL from last night. It is not a rules official. I'll probably complain about that too. But it happened. I told you it was going to happen. I'd been saying it for months, and people still fell into the trap last night, and the NFL is still not really treating it like they should. Tell you about that next.